Hello, you're listening to Reading Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by Sour Mook Sean.
I get a nickname because he messed up the answer to the game.
And future DVC owner, JJ.
I mean, we'll see how the rest of the series goes.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to readygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, the Geeks explore how the Disney Vacation Club works in the second episode of its four-part series. So today we are going over the Disney Vacation Club, its inner workings, and how it actually works. This is the second episode of our four-episode series on the DVC. So, guys, what did you think about episode one?
I learned a lot.
Oh, I was going to make a joke and say that I hated it, but I know. It was great. I learned a ton.
All right. So today we're going to start with how DVC works. And one of the first things you need to decide when you are buying DVC is your home resort. And this is the resort that you are technically buying into. This is the resort that you are buying a portion of, a 0.001% portion of it. But yes, you're getting a portion of this resort.
So not an Unkar Plutt one quarter portion.
Do you have the availability to choose whatever resort you want?
Yeah, so there are certain resorts that are technically on sale right now, and that would be Aulani, Riviera, Disneyland Hotel, the Cabins of Fort Wilderness, and soon Poly. Those are the ones that they're going to push you towards because those are the ones they're actively selling. However, like when I bought in at Saratoga. It just happened to be the cheapest one at the time, and I was like, you know, I would like Saratoga. And they were like, oh, are you sure? And I was like, yes.
But my point is there are hotels that are no longer on sale.
Yeah, they're no longer on sale, but they will find the points for you to buy.
Sure.
They'll go out to actually other people and buy their points and okay. Then sell them to you.
Interesting.
So it's important to choose the home resort you want. You know, there's different ways to be looking at that. You could be looking at it as, I know I'm going to be staying here all the time, and so I want to choose that resort. Or, like I did, I just wanted the cheapest and easiest way to get into the club. And so that's why I chose Saratoga. It's the biggest resort, has the most rooms, the most points, and is usually the last to be rented out.
Do I understand that to mean that even though Saratoga Springs is your home resort, quote unquote, you've not stayed there?
No, I have actually.
But it's not your first choice.
Never my first choice. Okay. Yeah. It's always the last resort, really. Literally, it's the last resort to be booked, and it's my last resort.
And I have a question, a follow-up question about that. So your points don't go farther at your home resort. They're just points.
Yeah, they're just points. Yeah. So when you buy a contract, that gives you yearly points. Every year you get the amount of points that you bought. So I bought 200 points. Every year I get 200 points. Your points are like currency to rent rooms. Different rooms at different resorts at different times of the year are all different point prices. So you could have, for example, and I looked this up, you could rent a room at Poly at Christmas time for 3 nights for the same amount of points as you can get at Boardwalk in July for 8 nights, right? So because of the high demand for the Polynesian resort during Christmas, a room is going to cost more points.
Right. Right. And that's anywhere, though.
That's anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The Christmas is going to be the highest season for DVC, the most expensive to stay in for point-wise is going to be during Christmas.
Right, so you could go to a more expensive resort in a, quote, off-season.
Right.
But if you're going more of an on-season, you may be more likely to stay at one of the more affordable resorts.
Yes. Here's an interesting mindset, though. What do you think is the more affordable resorts?
Well, the two that are closest, that are farthest away from the parks and closest to Disney Springs, so Old Key West and Saratoga Springs.
You think are the more affordable?
The
ones.
Two most affordable.
Okay.
After that, the Epcot resorts, and then the most expensive, the Magic Kingdom.
Interesting. Where do you think Riviera stands on that?
Oh, I think Riviera is on its own island because it is so new and so luxurious.
Yeah. So you nailed it with new. It doesn't really matter where the location is, where the resort is location-wise. It's all about when it was built. Because...
Wait, is it about when it was built or when it became DVC?
DVC. When it became DVC.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, when it joined DVC. Because when it joins DVC, they create the points chart. And that tells you how many points you need to spend per night during this season, that season, for this accommodation, for that accommodation, right? And once they create that point chart, it's pretty much locked in. They can move it around a little bit and say, you know what, there are more people because we have food and wine now. There's more people coming during the fall, so we need to make the fall more expensive. But if they make the fall more expensive, they have to make the springtime cheaper.
So the points, basically the average points have to add up when you look at the calendar year.
It always has to even out.
Yes. Right, it has to even out. So they're not just going to artificially inflate something.
So Disney can't just put something on sale. They can't, you know, no. Disney can't just say, this hotel is not selling super well, so for this week, it's 15% off points spending at the Grand Floridian.
Right,
and
right.
It doesn't impact anything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they can't do that.
That's actually probably really smart of them to do that, because otherwise, I would imagine there's a lot of people that are longtime DVC members that would probably... never schedule a vacation until they announced a sale and then use their points on the sale.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Rather than they're counting on these DVC people to use their points every year or whatever. And because they're also counting on them to show up to the parks and spend money at the parks, right?
Well, and also, you know, I think we're thinking of this as though Disney controls it now. And they've sold off the interest. They've sold off the interest in the hotel to other people, right? So that's why like Disney, like DVC, the Disney Vacation Club, is its own technically is its own company separate from Disney.
Right.
Right. So let's say DVC is having an event in Magic Kingdom, DVC has to negotiate with Disney what the price of the space is going to be, like the rent of the space is going to be, because it's technically a different company, right? So, you know, and we get to elect the leaders of that company, the people who bought into DVC get to elect the board. The points chart, though, is solid. And so back in the 90s and the early 2000s, the points charts were pretty cheap because they were trying to get people to buy in. But now, as time has gone on, you know, the points to stay at Grand Floridian and the Polynesian and the Riviera, they are very nice resorts, but it's also very expensive to stay there point-wise per night because they're newer and Disney wants to be able to sell more points.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So there are many different room types in DVC. My favorite is a studio. That's just going to be like your typical hotel room where you have two beds and a bathroom, right? And not much else.
Lucy and Ricky beds?
Yes. Yeah, the Lucy and Ricky beds.
Whenever I'm with Sam, I always joke, especially on, actually, the last time we were in Disney and we stayed on property, we had two beds. I literally slept in a different bed than her a couple nights because...
Sometimes I need your space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like, I just need to sleep good. Like, yeah. I'm just going to sleep. But Lucy and Ricky bed is kind of the dream.
Well, we have studios that generally sleep 4 to 5, one bedrooms that also sleep 1 4 to 5. But once you get into the bedroom categories, the one bedroom, the two bedroom, and eventually the three bedroom grand villa that DVC has, they each come with a fully stocked kitchen, meaning you have your pots and your pans, your sheets, your stove, oven, dishwasher, a refrigerator.
Tide Pod JJ is happy.
Laundry. Yeah, you have laundry. Yep.
Yeah.
From one
laundry
bedroom
in the unit.
In the unit.
Yeah. That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, from experience, we've stayed in a grand villa before. It's literally like a house. It's a full kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dishwasher. Yeah,
absolutely. The stove, refrigerator. Yeah.
The three of us were lucky enough together, actually, to stay at a grand villa in 2010.
Yeah.
And
a long time ago.
It was at Old Key West.
At Old Key West, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was...
Shout out Gurgling Suitcase.
Shout out to the Sultry Seahorse, RIP.
So there are some uncommon room types. The Duo Studios or Tower Studios are there at the Riviera and now going to be at the new Island Tower in Polynesian. Animal Kingdom has a club level, so you can use your points to stay on a club level room. A studio, one bedroom, two bedroom are available.
Have you done that?
I have not done that. In order, and we're going to talk why I probably will never do that.
Okay. Okay.
We'll talk about that. Why I won't be. I want to. It's on my bucket list, and I would love to. If anyone who can,
that sounds amazing.
Please contact us.
I pitched this for my mini moon that we would fly down, go to Magic Kingdom for one day, and spend 4 days club level. And shocker, guys, I got shut down. But it was cheaper than one of the other options that I showed.
Yeah.
Not cheaper than the option that we picked, but.
Yeah. Almost all the resorts also have different view categories, too. So, for example, at Boardwalk, you can choose between a studio standard view, which you'll be looking at the parking lot or garbage cans or something like that, or a garden view or a boardwalk view.
The Vegas degenerate in me wants to think that you should just get the cheapest one and slip the person checking you in a 20.
No. So that's also another thing too, is that you hardly ever get upgrades, right? Because everything is so specific and legally bound, right? Like if you didn't pay those amount of points in order to stay in that room, then you're taking away someone else who bought in's opportunity to pay those points and stay in that room.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Yes, very sad. Anyway.
Okay, so let's go back to talking about our home resorts because choosing a home resort is important. If you buy into a specific resort, they cost different per point. So currently, Old Key West, if you wanted to buy in, costs $205 per point. So if you wanted 100 points, you'd be paying
$20,500,
right. While the Grand Californian out in California costs $310 per point. So if you wanted to buy into the Grand Californian, you'd be paying...
$31,000,
yeah. They all vary in price, but they're all above now $200 per point. So why would I buy Beach Club at $250 over Old Key West at $200?
Yes, thank you.
So when you buy into a resort, you have priority to book at that resort earlier than people who don't have, who didn't buy into that resort. If you buy into Beach Club, you can book at Beach Club 11 months out. And if you didn't buy into Beach Club, you can book Beach Club at 7 months out from your desired vacation date.
Okay, so you have 4 months.
Yes.
Where you can act before anyone else.
Where you can act before anyone else that bought into other resorts. Yeah.
Okay.
So this kind of leads people to say, hey, listen, if you know that you always want to stay in Beach Club, make sure to buy a Beach Club. Because Beach Club is a popular resort, right?
Right. Now, in your experience, how is the availability 7 months out?
So I'll say one thing is that I am lucky that I am a teacher, and I know exactly what my vacations are going to be. I know when my vacations are going to be. And so I am able to plan 11 months out, and I'm able to plan 7 months out. So I have never really had difficulty getting into a resort that I wanted. We're going to talk about this when we have Michael on the podcast on episode 4. But I've stayed at Beach Club. I've stayed at Boardwalk multiple times. I've stayed at Poly. I've stayed at Bay Lake Tower, not on my points, but my sister's points, and she doesn't own there either, so I'm counting that. I've stayed at Saratoga too, where I own, but I've been able to find room. Oh, and Animal Kingdom Lodge, stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've been able to find availability at the 7-month window that it hasn't hampered us.
That's great.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say, though, is that I've had to pay a premium because I'll have to get maybe a better room view, right? I won't be able to get the standard because the standard is always going to be the first one booked, the cheapest rooms.
Oh, that's interesting to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. You are taking a risk by not buying where you actually want to stay. But if you are someone like me that is confident they will do the work necessary at 7 months to plan and get onto the site and stalk the site, like, I've had a lot of success doing that. So I think this is a good point to talk about annual dues. So we talked about how much a resort costs per point when you first buy into DVC. Mm-hmm. But what some people don't realize is that you do have to pay yearly dues, and these cover things like maintenance, transportation, taxes, and insurance on the property.
It's like you're paying your HOA fees or your property taxes. You know, once you pay off the membership of the DVC for however many, if you pay $31,000 up front day one, you're not sailing free for the rest of your time in the DVC. You have annual, monthly, I think.
Right.
Monthly payments you have to make towards it.
Right. Yeah. You can pay monthly or you can pay for the whole year. The resorts charge different amounts for their dues, right? So take, for instance, Animal Kingdom. They have to pay for all the animals. Mm-hmm. They have to pay for the savannah, and that's very expensive. So their dues are always a little bit on the higher end.
So that would almost make sense as to why there is a 4 month difference. There should exist a preference for people who have stayed at that hotel, who have paid to stay at that hotel.
Yeah.
Because you could, like you said, network points. You're basically saying I'm paying as cheap as possible to get into this club, but I'm going to take advantage of the top tier as often as I can.
Yes.
You're getting into Saratoga, but you want to go stay at Animal Kingdom. But there are people that have paid to be Animal Kingdom to be their home resort that are paying more in dues than you're paying at Saratoga that may be getting locked out of a room because you've booked it.
Well, that's why you have to be a planner. Right. DVC requires Disney you itself, to
Disney
plan.
Disney itself, forget DVC, Disney itself has made, if you're not a planner, you're not going to have your best experience on a Disney vacation.
Right.
The day of just showing up and going to Disney on a whim, you can still do it. You absolutely can. You can show up, you can go on rides, you can get your food whenever you want it, but you're going to have the best time if you're willing to sit down weeks, months, and even beforehand, and even the day of, if you're willing to take a break and sit down and get on your phone on that app, you're going to have the best possible time just planning it out.
Yeah.
Disney really has it kind of figured out because, you know, my gut instinct would have been to discount the point cost for the people that are in that resort. But doing it the way that they've done it, it's a different incentivization. Because if you did a discount, then all the people that signed up for one resort would book all the higher end resorts. Right. And then they'd have these DVC resorts that are unoccupied,
unused. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because all the cheap, like the cheapest way to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, right? Let's keep using Animal Kingdom Lodge as an example. If all the people that rent DVC got a discount, they would be renting the one and the two nicest bedroom villas. One,
right.
Yes. Yeah. And they'd be renting Savannah Room and all that. And then anyone who has any other points, you have Saratoga points, you'll just be getting standard room studios. But this incentivizes the people that rent DVC to take advantage of the best deal, which is just get into the resort. Mm-hmm. So they're getting the discount, but via a different manner.
You mean buy DVC, not rent DVC, right?
Just so no, buy. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah. Buy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
People who buy DVC, they can get into a standard rate room.
Right.
Easier.
Yeah,
because they have that 4 month window.
Yeah, and
so smart.
It is smart, and like I would also feel crummy if I had to pay more for that room than someone else who's in the same club as me. You know what I mean? Like the whole idea that Disney wanted is that it's not a timeshare. This is a club. This is like you're buying into this club with everybody else. And yes, your resort may not be desirable, but or as desirable as say Beach Club. But you know what? There are people who would rather stay at Saratoga Springs because of how close it is to Disney Springs, and they love to golf.
Disney Springs is one of the best things in Disney World.
Yeah.
Hollywood Studios has like three of my favorite five or so rides in all of the parks. But I think Disney Springs is a better product yeah. than Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Disney Springs rules.
Right. Yeah. Disney Springs is awesome.
So back to annual dues.
Yes.
So it's interesting. I just wanted to point out one thing that it's interesting with annual dues is that sometimes it's not exactly what you would have thought. Like, I, for one, would have thought that the Riviera would have high annual dues, right? Just because of how nice it is. I thought the upkeep would be high. But actually, a tower is very efficient to maintain. It has one air conditioning system,
right?
Versus a Saratoga or Old Key West, you have to have a different air conditioner for every building.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Things like that.
Sometimes multiple air conditioners for the same building.
Yeah. And another one to look at is, even though Vero Beach right now, you could buy Vero Beach for very cheap from Disney, or as we're going to talk about the resale market, that there's this market where you can buy resale points. You could buy Vero Beach very cheap, but they actually have double the dues every year than everyone else because of their flood insurance.
Oh,
because they're quite literally in storm territory.
Yeah,
they're on
the beach.
On the beach.
That makes sense.
Right. Very expensive to own there. So, the annual dues brings in something that you cannot ignore when you're doing the finances and the calculations of whether or not you want to join DVC. Some other things you can do with your points that is really great is banking and borrowing. So, you can bank your points from 1 year into the next year so that you have double points next year. Or you can borrow points from the next year into this year so you can have double points this year.
Wait. So you can pre-borrow. I guess because you were already paid for the points.
Yeah. Disney knows you're getting those points next year.
So is there a rule about how many years out
pre-borrow? Can I borrow 5 years worth of points to take the ultimate family vacation
right. For
3 weeks at Bay Lake Tower with a theme park view grand villa?
No, unfortunately not.
The reverse. Can you bank? How long can you bank for?
I feel like you can bank for longer than you can borrow out.
Ooh, that's a good. What do you think?
I would assume you can bank longer than you can borrow in the future.
So the answer to your question is 1 year for each. Okay. So you can bank 1 year, and then if you don't use those points the next year, they expire.
So what you mean is So let's assume 2025. You can borrow 2026's all of 2026's points.
Yeah.
And then 2026, you're out of points.
Yeah.
Or for 20, it's a busy year, 2025. You got a lot going on. You can push all your points. You want to have a big family vacation or whatever in 2026.
Yeah.
You push all your points in 2026.
Yep.
They will honor. You have 300 points. They'll honor 600 points.
Right. So you can then also in that 2026 borrow from 2027 and have triple the points at the end.
Oh. Okay. So that's the max.
Yes, that's the max.
So the max is borrowing 1 year before and 1 year after.
So it's one year on either end.
Yeah.
So in 2025, I can take my 200 points, push it to 2026. And then in 2026, I can pull 2027's 200 points and have 600 points.
Yeah.
But that means in 2025 and 2027, I have no points to use.
Yeah, but
I have the vacation of a lifetime in 2026.
But in 2027,
or the two or three vacations.
And
you get to pull and push at the same time.
Exactly. And so you pulled from 2027 in that example. In 2027, if you still want to go, you just pull from 2028. Right, and you could just keep on pulling.
You could just keep on pulling, and then
eventually the world's gonna end, and is all gonna be for nothing.
Or eventually you just actually don't go to Disney 1 year, and then you're all caught up again. Yeah. Or
this is not making me not want to get DVC.
I actually like that Greta's involved with global warming. The world might end.
Well, also, if you borrow from the last year, like, no one... So one thing is that... and I don't know if we mentioned this last episode. We should have. A difference between timeshares and DVC is that DVC has an end date. It's 50 years from when the resort started. So, 19...
Wait, I know this, but I also don't feel like we talked about this.
We did not talk about this. I can't believe I didn't mention this, because this is huge. Sometimes for a timeshare, you own that timeshare in perpetuity. You own that forever. Disney actually has an expiration date on their deeds, and it all has to do when the resort opened. Now, in the earlier resorts, Old Key West, Boardwalk, Hilton Head, Vero,
etc.
Yeah, I think even Wilderness Lodge and Beach Club, they decided that it was going to be 2042. And that was 50 years from when Disney Vacation Club started in 1991.
Okay.
Okay. So Saratoga Springs, that opened in 2004, they said, you know what? 2042 is actually too close now to really sell this.
They opened up another 50 years.
That was my question. So say tomorrow, recording this podcast has sparked a light in me, and I go to buy DVC tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would be the worst financial decision I've ever made in my life.
Amen. But no,
say tomorrow I go and I do it. I want to buy at, I can buy at, let's just say I can buy
Buy Riviera.
Let's say I can buy Riviera. I'm buying Riviera. Holy crap, what a decision that would be. Do I get 50 years from the start of my purchase, or it's I might only get...
get 40-something 46 because...
years, because it's been open for 4 years already.
Right.
That's exactly.
Like, okay.
Riviera expires in 2070.
So you can buy a contract at Riviera in 2068, and you get 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So eventually the price of Riviera is going to have to come down, right? Because no one's going to pay $30,000 to stay at Riviera.
I was wondering if it was 50 years from the start of your contract, or if it's predetermined.
It's predetermined.
Right. Predetermined.
Yeah. You're just coming into the game a little late.
Right. Right.
Gotcha.
It's predetermined, and it does go down, right? Because aren't there resorts where the prices have moved?
Well, so far all prices have only gone up. The ones that are 2042, you know, so your Boardwalk and Beach Club, this actually brings us on to, you know, we're going to talk about in a little bit, resale restrictions, right? Well, just resale in general. You can buy these contracts on a resale market. People that previously owned the contracts, you can just buy it from them and take it over.
Is that people that just decided they no longer want to have the DVC contract?
Yes, yeah, they never want.
People want to get bought out of their timeshare.
Right,
right. Back,
I don't want to use that term timeshare, quote unquote.
But. Right, and you can buy these contracts for 50% less than what Disney is selling these contracts.
But like you said earlier, you don't get the benefits.
Yeah, so the benefits after 2016, they stopped giving benefits to people who bought resale. If you bought resale before 2016, you're grandfathered in, but after 2016, if you buy resale, you don't get the benefits that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
I was going to say, what are the benefits?
Yeah. So just to finish what the point that you were bringing up before about the price is going to have to come down on the resale market. The price, you know, we're like 18 years out from the first expiration.
The very first expiration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that like 10 years out, 8 years out, the price on the resale market of these contracts is going to start to go down. And that's when actually I think I'm going to want to buy into, say, Boardwalk. Because I love staying at Boardwalk and I want to stay there. I want to stay there for 8 years knowing that I'm going to get the room I want to get.
Right.
Right. So I might buy in maybe when it has a couple years left, thinking that the price has come down so much. But anyway, these resales, right, being able to resell your vacation club is something that other timeshares allow you to do, but there's no market for them. You're trying to give away these timeshares. Like, if you don't want
to
stay
you're trying to abandon ship on these timeshares.
Yes, because you're paying dues every year.
Right.
It never ends.
Right.
There's no expiration date. You're paying every year, and you're not going there anymore. So you're trying to, can I sell it? No, no one wants it, right? Right.
Disney has someone could see, like you just said, oh, there's 6 years left on this contract. I could buy 6 years. Then I have absolutely no commitment to re-sign.
Right, right.
You're buying a 6-year contract of a Boardwalk or a Yacht Club or an Old Key West, and you have no commitment to re-sign, even though Disney will put the sticks to you, as we kind of talked about on the side. What happens when the first ever expiration comes around? What's Disney going to do to get their people to re-sign? You know, Disney's going to put, you talk about no hard sells, Disney's going to put the hard sell on some of their long-term tenured customers to re-sign, because, I mean, that's the only way that the Vacation Club succeeds. But I have absolutely no doubt that people that have been in the Vacation Club will re-sign. But the attractiveness of being able to, like, say, like, oh, someone's got 2.5 years on a contract at Boardwalk for $16,000.
Oof, that'd be a lot of money. Maybe I'm thinking like maybe $5,000 or $4,000. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but either way, just the fact that there is a resale market for DVC,
right,
and that it holds its value. Like, you may have spent $11,000 in 1991, right? You could now sell that contract now and make $30,000.
But there's even a resale market for people that just, if I want to go to Disney next month and I want to stay at a nicer hotel, I can, there's a market for me to go and buy someone's points for 1 week.
Yeah.
Like someone like you who may say you have 200 points for the year. You're not going to use all those points this year. Why can't I buy 80 of those points?
You can.
Right. So that's you're not just buying contracts. I can go tomorrow and buy 3 days worth of points and stay at, you know, it's going to cost me a pretty penny, but I can buy someone's points and stay for 3 nights at the yacht club.
Yeah. So the verbiage for that is renting out your points.
Right. Okay.
So let's go into that now. Let's say you bought into a DVC contract and you're not going to go this year. And you know what? Let's say that these are expiring points. You already banked these points the year previously. So now are you going to let these points expire? No. One thing you can do is go to a company. There's several out there. And rent those points to people like Sean, who wants to stay in deluxe accommodations, but doesn't want to pay so much as what Disney is charging, right? So it's pretty easy process. What you're essentially doing is booking their vacation. You go on to the Disney Vacation Club website, you book the room, and you put in there the name Sean Murphy, right? And then Sean Murphy pays you money.
We're doxing my last name here. That's okay, though.
Oh.
No, it's actually said at the end of every episode.
It's said at the end of every episode.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sean's never listened to the show before.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
You can make a lot of money, though, renting out your points. You can make double your dues, so you make your money back. You make your dues back.
Do you have to do it through a broker, or can you do it privately?
You can do it privately, and you'll get more money privately because you don't have to pay the broker, right? Right. But
so say I wanted to rent.
It's tough to trust people, though.
Right. But say you know me.
Yeah.
You and Emily, for whatever reason, whatever has happened, are not going to Disney World this year.
Right.
I'm going to rent 50 of your points.
Right.
You can just call up the resort and make the reservation in my name,
right,
using your points, and I just pay you on the side.
Yes. Yeah. And it's legal.
Yeah.
That is totally legal. Actually, the biggest person that rents out points is Disney. Because they own points in each of these resorts, and then when you go on to WaltDisneyWorld.com and say, I want to stay in Bay Lake Tower, and you buy, you know, you rent or... Yeah, you rent a room in Bay Lake Tower. You're technically renting points.
Someone's points, right.
You're renting Disney's
points.
Right. Yeah, because Disney has points in every resort. Okay, you had mentioned, JJ, about extras, right? About what benefits do you get, right? So if you buy direct from Disney, they call it in the industry, you are a blue card member. And that means that you have access to these magical extras. And what that is a generally a 10 to 20% discount on sit-down restaurants, merchandise, things like that. Generally, it's the same same discount you get as an annual pass holder, if you're an annual pass holder. But you also get access to annual passes. You get access to one of the Florida resident passes.
Oh, because you own...
Yes.
You own something in Florida.
Yeah, kind of. Here's the thing, though. All of these magical extras are subject to change and can be suspended or eliminated at any time. So, so it's not, you really don't own in Florida, even though you have this little bit there, right? You're not a Florida resident. Florida's not your residency, even though you own there, right? But Disney gives DVC blue card holders, people that bought directly through DVC or have resale before 2016, the ability to buy those annual passes. So that's something that a lot of people think is that, oh, if you're DVC, you get free annual passes. You don't.
You do not. The perks of Disney Vacation Club don't come in the parks. They come in the accommodations and the service you're getting.
Which is why some people say that, hey, just buy resale. It's 50% off. And what are you, someone that bought resale is treated to the same rooms at the same priority as someone who bought directly from Disney.
With, technically speaking, the same customer service.
They don't make you you wear a Scarlet A on your chest.
And no,
you
know absolutely.
You're
a resale. Jeez, get this guy out of here.
No, they have no idea. They have no idea. So, so you miss out on the lounge, and then there's Moonlight Magic Nights where DVC will rent out a park for 3 hours or so at the end of the night, and you get like free popcorn and free ice cream, and you can ride all the rides. That's a very nice thing.
Oh, that's a nice thing. Okay, yeah. So
that's one thing, but they are, there's only like maybe 10 of them a year, and they're always on a Tuesday or Thursday on times that a teacher from New York can't go.
Well, so.
Right. I don't need a DVC to have Moonlight Magic.
Okay. Oh.
How romantic.
All right, so two other things I want to mention here, and then I think we've kind of covered a lot of it. Something else you could do with your points is you can transfer your points into
The cloud. Into crypto, into Dogecoin. Disney is getting involved in the blockchain.
This is...
Okay.
It's called Mousecoin.
Okay, you ready for this?
Let's go.
So something else you can do with your points is you can transfer your points to Interval International, which is a timeshare network.
That's actually the timeshare network that my grandparents own, and I may or may not be using for my honeymoon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could do that as a DVC owner, is take your points and put them in there.
I saw Disney World as a location. I never clicked on it because we're looking at other places for some reason. I don't know. Yeah, SM.
So, yeah, and people from II, from Interval International, can book at DVC. Now, probably the only place you'd be able to book is Saratoga Springs. It'd probably be the only place that's available left.
But honestly, Saratoga Springs is pretty nice.
It's really nice. It is.
Ooh, this is nice! Girl! This audience is you right here?
So the last thing I wanted to talk about was Disney's right of first refusal. And what that is, it comes into play with the resale market. So, Sean, let's say you have a contract that you want to sell, and you're going to sell it to JJ, okay? And this is not that you're renting out your points. This is you are fully selling your contract. You will not have ownership of this contract again. It's like selling a property.
I'm selling my car.
You're selling your car. You're selling your house.
So this is the same. So this only applies in that situation.
Yes.
Okay.
So when Sean is selling to JJ, they come up with a number, and say they decide $90 a point, right? The deal first gets sent to Disney, and Disney has to decide, do we want this for $90 a point, or should we let this go through? And if they decide, oh, you know what? $90 a point is pretty good, and then we could take it and sell it for higher to someone, you know, direct points. All right, let's buy it from Sean. So they then step in and buy it as the buyer from Sean. JJ gets nothing, right?
Do I have an ability to negotiate or get a second?
Nope. No. You don't even know, actually. Like, you don't even know that Disney came and took it. Like, you don't care. You already accepted the offer of $90 a point. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's JJ paying you or if it's Disney paying you.
Gotcha.
Like, you know.
He just gets told he's no longer in the set.
Yes. Yes. The person who brokered the deal will go to JJ and say, I'm so sorry, JJ, but your contract, you know, Disney stepped in and bought it from you. So now JJ has to go back to the resale market. And when he goes to buy another a similar contract, he's going to say, maybe I should go 95 or 100.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
And so it keeps the price of the contracts high. Yeah. And that's why when you buy into DVC, you do have more value because of that. Disney's always buying contracts back because they want to sell them as direct points to other people. They want to sell them directly to other people as well.
Interesting.
We did it! Let's eat! Woo, woo.
Yeah, so that's how the Disney Vacation Club works. Next week, we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of the Vacation Club and who we think that the Vacation Club is good for and who we think that the Vacation Club may not be the best for.
Okay, cool. Do you think I have time for a game?
I suppose.
Yeah. A quick game. We can do a quick game.
Well, yeah, it's got to be quick. I mean, look at the time.
And you know what? This time, JJ, I think I'm going to run the game.
What?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I guess.
He's right. Got to put his game pants on.
Yeah.
What time is it?
All right, guys. So I have a Disney trivia game for us.
Okay.
Trivia?
Yeah.
How new?
Well, yeah, we've done trivia before, but it was a while ago. And you know what? JJ didn't get to play in the trivia game. He was the game host. So this time I'm going to be the game host and give JJ the opportunity to lose to Sean.
Wow. Okay. I see how it is.
So this is how it's going to work. I'm going to read the question. You guys have to wait until I have fully completed the question. And then you can ring in using your name. All right. So here is our first question. What is the original name of Walt Disney Imagineering?
JJ.
All right, JJ.
WED Enterprises.
Ding, ding.
Okay, so that's Walter Elias Disney, so his full name,
yep.
Enterprises.
Correct. Okay. All right, so that's 1 point, JJ.
Maybe
0 point, Sean. Okay. How many versions of Spaceship Earth have there been?
Sean, existing currently, there have been 4.
Correct. 4.
Nice job.
Good job, Sean. Which ride did Test Track take place of?
JJ.
JJ.
Horizons.
Incorrect.
Oh, no!
Don't say it.
No! I gotta censor myself.
Is it the Universe of Motion?
Oh my God, he's so close.
I will take it.
Yeah.
It's a world of motion.
Okay.
World of motion.
Oh my God, I can't believe I said that wrong.
You know what, though? I think most people think that Horizons used to be.
No, Horizons is where Mission Space was.
Right. Yeah. But World of Motion
is Test Track.
Yeah.
I know that. I just, wow. It's a lot harder being on this side.
Any answers?
Yeah, but
it's a lot harder being on this side because I know that.
Okay. What was the first non-US Disney park?
JJ. Tokyo.
Tokyo Disneyland. Yes. We are tied 2-2. This one I'm going to require you to get exactly correct.
JJ. Skipper Canteen LTD?
No, the Jungle Navigation Company.
Oh, I knew that.
You sure about that?
Okay. What was the original icon of Hollywood Studios?
Sean. Was it not a water tower with Mickey ears?
Wait, what's the name of it?
Oh, God damn it. The Earful Tower.
Yes!
There we go.
The Earful Tower.
You buzzed in before me, so you had to say the name right. But you nailed it.
You nailed that. This one will be for 2 points.
Ooh.
And if one person doesn't get one of the points, the other person can get the other point. What was the first modern resort, and what year did it open?
Oh.
Wait.
I only know one.
The first modern resort?
Moderate.
Moderate.
Moderate resort.
JJ. Caribbean Beach Resort And I'm going to put the year at 1988.
Correct on both.
Are you serious?
Oh! Wow.
Wow.
JJ rockets
wow.
to first place.
Wow.
It what is 4 points. JJ, 3 points.
I knew it was
Sean.
Caribbean Beach. I did not know the year. That was a
wow.
guess.
Wow.
I figured it would have had to been before MGM opened, which was 89.
What a guess.
So I was like, is it 89 or is it 88? So it just gave a guess.
Wow. Okay.
So here's our second to last question before our final round.
The penultimate question.
The penultimate question. I like that. How many stops are there on the railroad in Magic Kingdom?
JJ.
JJ?
Four.
Incorrect.
It's three.
That is correct, Sean. It's three. Yeah. It is three. So Sean ties it at 4-4. This is good. Okay, final round. Here we go. There are five possible answers, right? And so you can get up to 5 points. Okay, so you guys are going to create your own list here. I'm going to give you a prompt, and you're going to get 1 point for every correct answer. You ready for this?
We're ready.
If you wanted to stay at a Walt Disney World hotel in 1980, what options would you have? All right, ready? I'm going to read off the answers, guys, and you guys are going to tell me if you had it on your list. Here we go.
Okay.
Contemporary Resort.
Correct. Yes.
1 point for each. The Polynesian Resort.
Correct. Yes.
2 points for each. Fort Wilderness Campgrounds.
Correct.
No.
I got it.
3 points for JJ. 2 points for Sean. The Gulf Resort.
No. Shades of Green. Are you counting the resort that is now
I
Shades
will count.
Of Green?
I will let you have that. Shades okay. of Green counts.
Yeah.
Three.
I had that resort. Yeah.
The Walt Disney World Village Villas.
What the heck is that?
It was where Disney Spring, Saratoga Springs now is, where the Disney Institute was.
Oh, okay.
Originally was the Village Villas.
I had the Wilderness Lodge, and then I put the Grand Flow, even though I know what year the Grand Flow opened.
Okay, so since you each got the same amount correct, we're still tied at 7-7.
Oh, it's tied.
It's tied. We need a tiebreaker. So okay. Here's the tiebreaker, okay?
Okay.
Whoever gets closer to the number, all right, without going over.
Oh, Price is Right rules.
Read it.
Without going over. Okay.
How many Walt Disney World highway welcome signs are there?
Five.
I'm going to say six because I think it's over five. And as you said, Price is Right rules.
Right. The answer is five.
What?
That was amazing, Sean. So Sean wins. Our Disney trivia for tonight. Wow, how'd you know that right off the bat?
I figured there's one at every gate, and there's at least four gates.
Why'd you go five then?
Because you gotta imagine there's just I don't know.
I mean, five. I was thinking like, okay, there's like roads.
Like we're not talking about the billboards you see on I-4 that are like, oh, Disney
no,
World.
No, no, welcome signs.
Welcome to Walt Disney
yes,
World.
Yes, yes. Like you are
I
entering Walt Disney
if
World.
If there were three roads that ran through Walt Disney World, that there would be a welcome sign on each side of the road.
That it's on the east side and it's on the west side of property.
Right.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
So I
yes.
was thinking that yeah. there would have to be six signs.
There
so
are
the
only three.
Way I could
or
have
five.
Been wrong.
Five.
But there's five. That's crazy.
There's entrance
there
signs.
Be an odd number of that.
On 192 on World Drive, 536 on Epcot Center Drive, Osceola Parkway.
Osceola.
Off 535 onto Hotel Plaza Boulevard. And from Western Way off 425. So I think the Hotel Boulevard may have gotten you mixed up because it ends in Disney.
Well, that's progress for you.
So Sean, do you want to take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on all our social media at Reedy Geeks. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or future idea topics, please contact us at reedygeeks@gmail.com. We'll see you soon.
Hurry back. Hurry back.
This week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of Little Leota from Gracie Manor.
If you have an Honest Send-Off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, readygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and J.J. Hefner. Music and audio engineering by J.J. Hefner. Bon voyage!